First reading is taken from Acts chapter 3. The crippled beggar has just been healed in the temple. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, although he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him complete healing, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know you did it in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can we please stand? Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The arsenal of grace. I'm not an avid football fan, but I do know that Arsenal Football Club are in a close-fought fight for the Premier League title this year. As a club, they began as Dials Square Football Club in 1886, a team of workers employed by the Dials Square Workshop at the Royal Arsenal, an armaments factory in Woolwich. And today's message, the Arsenal of Grace, is taken from the chapter of Philip Yancey's What's So Amazing About Grace that we're working our way through in our home groups. But I don't know about you, but grace and weapons aren't words we'd ordinarily pair together. There is seemingly no place for grace in warfare. We woke this morning to the troubling news of a retributive attack on Israel by Iran, using powerful weapons of offence, thwarted by more powerful weapons of defence. And it's the power we find in an arsenal that Yancey is referring to. For grace, given and received, is a powerful, powerful thing. He cites examples after example where grace has prevailed in modern-day world events, when retaliation or retribution or resentment or revenge might ordinarily have been expected. He writes of German Christians asking for forgiveness from Polish Christians in the 1950s, of Martin Luther King's persistent non-violent response to prejudice and persecution in the 1960s, of Willy Brandt, the mayor of Berlin in 1970, falling to his knees before a Polish memorial to the victims of the Warsaw Ghetto, of a high official of the KGB in the 1980s era of perestroika, receiving the forgiveness offered by a relative of a Siberian labour camp victim, of Nelson Mandela's message of reconciliation and forgiveness after 26 years in prison, and then South Africa's dismantling of apartheid. And so he goes on. He goes on to cite the big issues that blight our humanity, and how grace, mighty and powerful, has and does and will overcome. And then there are the words of Jesus when he describes the church, the community of grace, the community blessed by grace, against which not even the gates of hell will prevail. In the end, grace will overcome all darkness, all evil. Grace is indeed powerful. Grace is mighty. Grace can lead to forgiveness and reconciliation, and not only on the international stage, but in our own lives too, leading to forgiveness and reconciliation on a personal level, healing relationships between family, friends, and God. Exercised grace is powerful, healing, releasing stuff. But it's not easy. Exercising grace goes against our natural instincts to win, to be right, or to receive recompense, or to exact revenge. And grace is not cheap. It cost God the Father his Son. But for you and for me, we have been touched by an extraordinary love. A love that knows no bounds. A love that is so profound that it's beyond our comprehension. Because in this love, we have been given the free gift of grace. Grace, that divine favour unmerited, undeserved, yet freely given. As someone else has written, grace is the love of the Creator reaching out to his creation, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. It's the divine hand of mercy extended to us, not because we deserve it, but because he is merciful. But here's the thing. A gift is no gift unless it's received and unwrapped and put to use. Because it's not enough to simply recognise our need for grace, and boy, do we need it. Right now in Ukraine and Russia and Gaza and Israel and Iran and Yemen and yet so many other places in the world, we need grace. And we need grace in our lives too. We need grace. We need grace in how we treat one another in community. We need grace in how we treat ourselves. acknowledging our weaknesses, our inability to save ourselves. For the times when we are weary, for the times we stumble and fall, for the times we make mistakes, for the times we fail, we need grace. We need mighty, powerful grace. And we need to accept it, to embrace it, to make it our own. Letting go of our pride, our self-righteousness, and our self-sufficiency. And to then to rely on God's mighty grace alone. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give, goes the words of a chorus. Now, Peter had just been an average, everyday kind of guy, going about his business of fishing until Jesus called him to follow. And in following, he witnessed some pretty amazing stuff. And as we read of him throughout the gospel, he becomes a leading disciple. He is the one who asks the big questions, makes confident declarations and brash decisions. Eventually, though, he crumbles under pressure and he lies to save himself and he fails Jesus. Can you imagine the shame and the embarrassment he must have felt? He isn't who he wants to be or who he thinks others want him to be. He's all just talk, not brave at all. He might have met the resurrected Jesus twice already, but in today's reading, Peter is a broken, crushed man. Have you ever found yourself feeling this way? Have you ever failed the Lord so miserably that you thought he could never, never, ever forgive you? And even though people have told you over and over and over again that Jesus forgives you, you still cannot forgive yourself. Maybe this is how Peter felt that morning. Not knowing what to do next, Peter had gone back to what he knew, fishing, but he'd caught nothing. Even though they had returned to the old ways, Jesus had not left them. And as Jesus always does, he calls out to them. And as is so often the case for us, the disciples did not realize it was Jesus, the risen Christ, now cooking them breakfast on the shore. And when they've finished eating, Peter gets a taste of grace. The video clip perhaps captures something of how hard it was for Peter to accept this free gift. So hard won through the cross. But having accepted it, Peter goes on to be a leading disciple again in the life of the early church, freely giving of what he has freely received. We too are called to extend grace to others, just as God has extended grace to us. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, to show mercy as we have been shown mercy. As God's people, we are called to reflect God's grace, his mighty and powerful and all-conquering grace. To reflect that in our words, in our actions, in our lives. Amen.